Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, hi there. Don't mind me. I am just reenacting the main event of AEW Dynamite this week because I wanted to feel like Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley. I'm not going to lie, really hurts. But we just have had part one of Grand Slam part two, which makes absolutely no sense. And if you do understand, you are now on my wavelength, which is not a good idea. Hello, my name is Simon Miller. We did just have a massive All Elite Wrestling show. So we take this. Ah! Sounded like somebody dying. It was meant to be like, oh my gosh, it's the finger of power. And we're going to give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down. AEW really knows how to make Asha Ath look like it's a really big deal. Because as soon as the camera was on it, I was like, this feels like a pay-per-view, even though it's on free TV. But is TV really free? I don't know what that means. We also kicked off with Chris Jericho versus Claudio Castagnoli for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And Jericho straight away was like, ha-ha, I'm not obeying your rules. So he slapped Claudio right around the face. And you have never seen a man react so badly to being whacked. Claudio went crazy. Because he was just hitting Chris Jericho with Sagat-like uppercuts before he crotched him on the top rope. So I was like, there goes Jericho's penis. And by the time they were fighting on the outside, Kari Silken got involved, who of course used to be behind Ring of Honor. Jericho was hiding behind him too and shoved him into Castagnoli to get the upper hand. So do remember this the next time you're looking for a human shield. I suppose he worked out pretty good. The thing is, when Chris did go for a springboard something, Castagnoli just smacked him right midair. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I was like, yep, this is insta-fun. They were then going back and forth, including Jericho hitting a top rope Hurricane Rana after it looked like Claudio was about to kill him. And I cannot and will not ever accept this because Chris Jericho is over 50, and he does this as easy as getting up in the morning and making your eggs. It didn't last long, though, because then Claudio was coming back with uppercuts, and he really likes that move. He did that after Jericho had gone from a Codebreaker 2, so it was doubly badass. And after he had laid in some strikes, he locked in the sharpshooter. But this isn't Chris's first rodeo, so he did get to the ropes. But then, man, were we giving Castagnoli a lot. I mean, one time, Chris Jericho went to smack him in the balls, but Claudio was like, rah, my testicles are too hard. It also meant that Castagnoli could then springboard. You know what happened. Jericho was able to then finally hit the Codebreaker. So I just need to say this. Maybe we just need to calm it down with the springboards. Wait for summer instead. We then went from the Walls of Jericho into the Big Swing, which went on forever, by the way, when Jericho decided to go and get Floyd the baseball bat. And honestly, we gotta give a round of applause for Floyd. What a wrestling run he's having. He's up to like 3 years now. Claudio is so damn strong though, he basically caught this with both hands so he didn't get thwomped on the head, so he is Superman. But this caused such a fracas that referee Aubrey Edwards was like, I don't know what to do, and then realized, well, I should get rid of this weapon. And as soon as she did that, Jericho hit Claudio Castagnoli right in his groinal area, followed up with the Judas effect, he got the three. So now Chris Jericho is the Ring of Honor World Champion. And you have to start asking, what the flub hasn't this man done? He also won this in the most devious way possible, and I really liked it because, of course, it is Ring of Honor. And I know he did this against Bryan Danielson too, but I just thought it worked better. And afterwards, the Jericho Appreciation Society are out going, oh, Jericho, we appreciate you so much. Apart from Danny Garcia, who was kind of shaking his head like, man, you are such a cheating goober. This made me happy, though, because Jericho's insane career continues. And sooner than later, he's probably going to be able to say, oh, hello, if there ever was a major promotion in this world, I've been the champion. You got to give it up. We then got this awesome video focusing on the main event between Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley. And I was like, this is the most important moment of my life because it got you pumped. And then there was another title change, so New York was on it. But it was Swerve and Our Glory versus the Acclaimed, and everybody was coming out with rappers and DJs and who knows what else. And finally, after weeks of being cut off, Max Caster got to do his rap. I swear, at one point, he was talking about glory holes. This guy. Anthony Bowens then had the great idea, well, I'm going to try and double leg Keith Lee, and that did not work. And then Lee just started throwing him around like he was a piece of paper, but also doing a bunch of moves where you're like, a guy that big should not be able to do those maneuvers. But more importantly than all of that, this dynamic between Keith and Swerve Strickland continue. Like, Keith Lee will beat you up, but he has morals, whereas Swerve is like a piece of shit. Because as soon as the Acclaim went to do the whole scissor me daddy thing, Swerve just ran in there and cut it off. And these fans weren't happy, especially because basically for the entirety of this, they were doing a scissor me daddy chant. And I said to my girlfriend, because she was around at the time, if I said to you scissor me daddy, what would you think it meant? And she said, probably something sexy, which is the best answer I've heard to that question. This allowed the champs to work over Max Caster a little bit, especially when they focused on his leg. But eventually, he hit this insane brainbuster onto Strickland. He got the hot tag to Bowens, and honestly, you could probably have heard this cheer in, I don't know, Chicago? I mean, that ain't that close. Sadly, he was still trying to find a giant, so Keith Lee cut him off at one point and just held him over the top rope onto the stage. And after this, he was doing moonsaults as well. So I was just staring at Keith Lee, thinking to myself, how the hell are you human? Swerve was then being a moron again because he was going to use the boombox, but he actually missed and he smacked Keith Lee in the head. So surely you're about to get to this feud. And this opened the door for Caster to go for the mic drop. And again, he hurt his leg. He wasn't able to do it. And he just slumped on the floor. And I tell you, the fans were so disappointed about this. There was no need. Because soon we were on the outside and Billy Gunn was getting involved, excuse me, daddy ass. And when the referee wasn't looking, he hit the Famouser onto Swerve Strickland. And once again, everyone was just going crazy. They then got back in the ring. Bowens hit him with the Acclaimed. I think it's called the Acclaimed. When Caster came off the top with the elbow, and the ref went one, the ref went two, and the ref went three. We have brand new tag team champions. And everybody cheered this like they were about to get free pizza. And yes, if we want to be that guy, we can say, well, this wasn't good as their first match, but you don't look at it that way. You push them together like a sandwich and realize that round one and round two were equally great. And I'm going to be that guy. But this made me so damn pleased, because all the way back in like 2021, I said, oh, the Acclaimed should be tag team champions before the end of 2022. And while it had nothing to do with me, sometimes it's nice to see your favorites climb all the way to the top. I am giving it up. It also finished with a big old bunch of scissoring. And again, make sure today you go to say that to someone that doesn't understand what's going on. And then we zoomed to the back and it was time to set up some challenges. Because FTR were backstage and instantly hit start on controller 2. Because they were like, look, we have been the number one contender since April. So maybe it's time for a championship shot. This is when they were interrupted by the Gun Club, though, who said, we're like the younger FTR. And I've thought about that for hours and it doesn't make any sense. But the point is this, they're better than these two, they are more over than these two, and they are more successful than these two. So you can already see what's going to happen here. We'll do FTR versus the Gun Club and the winner will take on the Acclaimed. I got no issues with that. It didn't look like we were about to get an interview with Wheeler Yuta because Tony Schiavone was like, oh, hello, Will, shall we have a chat? He got interrupted by MJF. Now, the pop for this was ridiculous, so he's quite clearly a babyface. Although he did everything he did to try to get the crowd to boo him by saying, Tony Schiavone, you're nothing but a big fat piece of shib. And also, Wheeler, you're mid, and you're never going to get a reaction like that. He then tried to go after the people specifically, because he was all like, look, they love me so much, they would drink my spit, and they would let me sleep with their wives, although I wouldn't, because I have standards. Now, look, I like MJF. But if he comes in right now and goes, do you want to drink this? I'm going to be like, no, I'll have some water. And then if he goes and tries to bang my wife, well, he's not going to be able to because I don't have a wife. Thankfully, Yuta was allowed to get his own shots in here because he was all like, oh, Maxwell, I heard he just got engaged, but I bet your fiance is pretty smart and she's going to leave you like you left AEW. And then Friedman came back by saying the BCC actually stands for the Blackpool Cuckold Club. And all of this was nuts. He also says it doesn't matter who wins in the main event because they're just setting up to be beaten by him, and that Wheeler Yuta should go get advice from everybody in his group, including William Regal, who can teach him how to take pills. And thankfully, at this point, Wheeler Yuta started to beat him up. I was like, thank goodness for that. Of course, Maxwell is a massive piece of crap, so he booted Yuta right in the balls, and then he knocked over Tony Schiavone. And this is when I was dying, because he had literally gone, oh, I'm going to sleep with your girlfriends, I'm going to sleep with your wives. Everyone went, yeah, do it. And then he knocked Tony on the floor, and everyone's like, nope, that's too far. Eventually, 2W Morrissey came out to beat everyone up, because don't forget that MGF has a relationship with the firm. And actually, what I would do is I would take Morrissey out of that and I would just have him be Wardlow too, in the sense of his relationship with Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I mean, it worked before. It worked 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Just keep doing it. So there is your story too. I imagine that Maxwell is now going to work his way through the Blackpool Combat Club before he does get to, spoiler, John Moxley. And all of this was just a nice segment, mostly because Maxwell Jacob Friedman is just crazy, crazy over.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Then had a quick segment with Jade Cargill and Diamante, who are going to be fighting on Rampage. And it turns out the original baddie is Trina. Now, I think she's a rapper, and I'll admit I don't know who that is, but you don't just write television for one specific audience. I'm sure there's a whole community who know who Trina is, so maybe they'll check out AEW, and that's what you need to do. Anyway, Cargill was really mad at Kiera Hogan here, because apparently Kiera Hogan knows Trina, and this was mostly my face during it. I didn't really understand. And then we finally had a match where no titles changed hands. And of course, I'm joking. You could have changed all fives and I would have been like, yes. But it was Pac versus Orange Cassidy for the All Atlantic title. And while this may not be as good as a couple of other matches they had, what it did have was such an awesome story. Because Pac has all been like, I don't want to fight a piece of fruit. That's ridiculous. I should be eating him. Whereas we all know Orange Cassidy is deceptively good at professional wrestling. Orange was aware of this though, so threw his sunglasses right in Pac's face. And then throughout the entire thing, he was just like, prod the bear, prod the bear, prod the bear, prod the bear. He was trying to wind the bastard up so much that he would go crazy and lose. Now this kind of happened, because I tell you, Pac really did lose his damn mind. Because he just unloaded on Cassidy like he wanted to kill him. And around this time, Tony Schiavone rejoined commentary. And I love it when stories come together, because he was all like, man, Maxwell Jacob Friedman shouldn't have done that. But he is going to be fined. Not that it matters, because he's got all the power and money now. Ah, oh, what have we done? We then shot back to the ring, where Pac was just doing his whole, who cares about gravity? I'm going to defy the laws of physics. And I got genuinely upset about this, because here I am walking around with my fat ass having to deal with gravity, whereas Pac, who is also from England, somehow doesn't have to. I think it's fair. Cassidy also had this terrible plan, because he was like, I'm going to give Pac the thumbs up. And honestly, you would have thought he'd taken a knife out and killed one of Pat's loved ones, because once again, he just went loopy. The thing is, though, eventually Orange did start to use this frustration against him, and at one point, he hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, and he got a proper good near fall. Before he did it again with the Stun Dog Millionaire, then Pat went to the outside to Orange Cassidy hit with a bunch of DDTs, and it looked like he was wearing him down. Cassidy then just kept reversing everything into the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. But this was too much for Pac, because they started fighting on the outside when he got the ring bell hammer and he positioned himself so the referee couldn't see, and he just took it and went doink. And he smashed Orange right in the face. I was like, yeah, that's basically cheap. What I absolutely loved is that we didn't do anything after this. He just rolled Orange Cassidy back in the ring and pinned him. And we should do more of that. He got hit in the skull with a blunt object. That's going to take everybody down. Now, we do have to admit, this was the second time on this show where we had some shenanigans. So we shall keep an eye on it. But actually, AEW doesn't do this too much. But like I say, we got to keep this balance in check. However, Pac is still the All-Atlantic champion. Kind of feels like he went semi-heel, but it may have been just for this night, but it was good. We then had another championship match because it was for the AEW Women's Championship, and we had Toni Storm versus Britt Baker versus Athena versus Serena Deeb. I thought it was pretty good. The opening was all about Athena and Storm going at it, and we should get to that program eventually. But when Serena Deeb got back in there, she just hit the go button on professional wrestling. She was doing all these moves and all these submissions. I tell you, she is very, very skilled. She was also doing all this double pin stuff, so that makes her a hero when Britt Baker was back in there whacking people. And eventually, Toni Storm went to the top rope, but you don't go to the top rope in a four-way, because Baker was here, and Deeb was here, and Athena was here, and they did the big old Tower of Doom. Never get bored of a Tower of Doom. It also opened the door for Athena to perform even more moves, and she is very good too. And this is when Rebel had increased her MP, so she was casting distraction. I put my hand up like, excuse me, AEW. You know that Rebel is going to do this. Why the flub is she allowed at ringside to begin with? So we should banish her like she's in Judge Dredd, and then it was Toni Storm's turn to be on top. And yes, she hit Sweet Cheek Music, which is what she's now calling her hip attack. And this is when Deeb was back on it, because she was doing neck breakers and she was doing arm holds, and she was locking in the Serenity Lock before that got broken up, when Athena, I think, shouted, "Time for me to go crazy," because she had two people, one on her back, and she was holding one like this, and she was just stomping around, and she hit a double move, and I was like, yep, that'll do it. I think that Britt Baker may have taken a bad fall here, because when she did get up, there was blood gushing out of her nose, and the commentator said they thought it was broken. When both the Dentist and the Toni Storms tried to win with the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up. And amazingly, that did win. Toni got the most devastating one of the bunch. She pinned her, and she retained her title. Now, it doesn't feel to me like we have done a surprise roll-up finish for a while, so you can get away with it. And actually, this match was more about the fallout, because instantly Britt Baker and Rebel was beating everybody up when Jamie Hayter ran to the ring, and she went into tease mode. Just when it looked like she was about to smack Britt right in the face, she attacked Toni Storm instead. Now, I totally understand why AEW did do this. We'll get to it in just one second. But I can't lie, something in my tum-tum went, ugh. Because for ages, I have wanted to see Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter fall out. And while you can actually justify it saying, but Simon, she's going after the world champion, which does make sense, sometimes I can't control my emotions, so it does have to get it down. I thought we'd pulled the trigger. And now we've got the bullet, and we pushed it back in the chamber. I mean, look at it this way, right? If I am playing Mario Kart and somebody pulls my controller out and they ring me up the next day and say, "Hi, Simon, do you want to play Mario Kart?" I'm going to be like, "No, I do not want to play Mario Kart with you." Also, apparently this happened in the late 90s because my controller is being plugged in. Forget all of that, though, because it is kind of irrelevant, because as this beatdown was going on, some brand new music started to play and a brand new Titantron appeared on the big screen. Because we had just had a debut at Grand Slam, and it was flipping Saraya, the former Paige. She got an absolutely crazy pop that you need to go out of your way to see, and after the ring had cleared, she looked at Britt Baker and said, "This is my house," which you can't be, because you've only been there one day. You've got to put a mortgage down first. But this was quite the arrival. Again, it was one of those moments, and don't forget that wrestling is all about moments. So when you take the match and you take this shock, you've got to give it an up. It was pretty damn decent. We then had this video kind of promoting Darby Allin and Sting taking on the House of Black. But it was Darby getting on the New York subway, and he had a body bag with a body in it. Now, I don't want to be that guy, but I think you're allowed to do that. At least one person would walk up to you and go, "Hello, sir. Can I please inquire as to what is in your holding device?" And if you said anything but, "Yeah, man, I got a carcass in there," no one was going to believe you. I know, this is what Darby Allin apparently does in his free time. Also, who was in the bag? Because he quite clearly has either A, committed murder, or even worse, he's been digging up dead bodies. It was then time for our main event, which felt kind of crazy because this had just gone title match, title match, title match, title match, title match. But I don't mind us doing that every here and there. And also, it made the whole damn card feel important. And we got to the AEW World Title Contest. I tell you, this was crazy. It was also Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley in the finals of the tournament. And we sold this so hard because William Regal was on commentary and he was even like, "Oh, Excalibur, I'm not going to flirt with you this evening, my pumpkin spice. We're going to have to leave that for another time." Because like I say, this is when ship gets real. MJF was also watching this from the stands with that oversized ship, which does look kind of ridiculous. And I'm still not 100% sure if he just gets to choose his match or it's like a Money in the Bank cash-in, but we can move that to one side because nothing happened on this evening. Because back in the ring, Danielson and Moxley must have had a chat where they were like, "Okay, my idea for the match is like we try and murder each other." And the other guy went, "Oh, that was my idea too." So they stood in the squared circle and tried to commit death. I mean, the amounts of boot strikes, punches and chops started to make me feel oogly boogly. And more than once, they were attempting to choke the other one out. And when they wouldn't tap, they were like, "All right, well, I'm just going to lock it even harder." So once again, their plan was, if I can't pin him and they won't submit, I'll just murder his ass. It was then all violence, body parts and submissions, which is the name of my brand new EP. And if you are looking for wrestling with Edge that doesn't involve Adam Copeland, this is where you need to go. Because it honestly felt like they thought they were in UFC and they could do whatever the flub they wanted. I'm not even sure you could do this with too many guys because we know they are friends. They do have a relationship. Because once more, it was just lay that strike in as hard as you can. So they did. Bryan was soon dumped on his head after a suplex, so I was freaking out, but he still managed to get back into this by hitting a superplex. And at one point, they both just like bridged up using their necks. And if you were really quiet, you could hear William Regal on commentary shedding a tear because he loves that stuff. Danielson was then applying the cattle mutilation, but Moxley got out of that and just slammed him with this lariat. But then when he went for the Death Rider, Danielson was able to reverse that and he got him with the running knee for a great near fall. And I genuinely was like, this is like tennis to me, which worked given the stadium. I don't know which way it's going to go. By this point, Brian's leg was mushed though because Moxley had been working over it. He did not care. He was like, "All right, it's flashing red like a boss in a video game. I'll attack it." And then he hit the Death Rider. And I tell you, Bryan Danielson kicked out so late, I thought I had a baby. What does that even mean? Later on, it also looked like Mox was going to tap to the LaBelle lock, but he was able to get out of that. And when they fought to the outside, I'm just going to close my eyes and pretend this didn't happen. Jonathan hit the Death Rider onto Danielson on the ring stage. Now, do not forget, Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, has already retired once. Why the hell doesn't he care about his head? This still would not keep Bryan Danielson down, so he was selling him like a superhero. So this ties into what I was just saying. Jon Moxley decided, well, there's nothing else I can do. I choose death. Because he did lock in that choke, and Bryan would not stop wiggling and wriggling. So he just locked it even harder until Danielson did eventually pass out, meaning that Jon Moxley is not only the brand new AEW World Champion, but a three-time champion. And there was a great bit afterwards when Regal came to the ring. Bryan was all like, "Oh man, did I pass out? Did I pass out?" Which is what people actually do in mixed martial arts. Felt flipping real. I also saw some people saying, "Oh, AEW does this finish too much." I'm like, have you ever watched any kind of UFC? It's literally what happens all the time and that's real. And yes, afterwards the BCC was celebrating because at least one of their guys is now the world champion. As Maxwell Jacob Freeman looked on like, "Man, I'm gonna get mine." It really does open the door for so many questions though, because surely MJF does need to win that championship when they have the match. But can Moxie really have another short title reign? So my eyebrow goes up, but what some awesome seeds to plant. It is getting it up. Which did bring us to the end of AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. And look, this is just a show you need to see. As we've already talked about, it was just a pay-per-view event, but it happened to be on television. If you like a bit of wrestling, you will like this. Getting it up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.